Okay, text 27 on page 44 by special request of Hari Guru Prabhu. Atavenu nanarasya traimurti mayigati spuranti pravivishashu mukabjani swayambhuvaha gayatrim gayatastasmad adigatya sarojajaha samskritaschari guruna dvijatam magamatata.
Ata.
Then.
Venu
ninadasya.
Of the sound of the flute.
Trai murti mayi.
The mother of the Veda, of the three Vedas.
Gatihi.
The means.
The Gayatri mantra.
Spuranti.
Being made manifest.
Pravivesha.
Entered.
Ashu,
quickly,
Mukha
Abjani,
the lotus faces,
Swayambhuvaha,
of Brahma,
Gayatrim,
the Gayatri,
Gayataha,
sounding,
Tasmad,
from him, Sri Krishna,
Arigatya,
having received,
Sarojajaha,
the lotus born
Brahma.
Samskritaha,
initiated,
cha,
and
Adi
Guruna,
by the primal preceptor,
Dvijatam,
the status of the twice born,
Agamat,
attained,
Tataha,
thereafter.
Translation.
Then Gayatri, the mother of the Vedas, being made manifest, that is imparted by the divine sound of the flute of Sri Krishna, entered into the lotus mouth of Brahma, born from himself through his eight ear holes. The lotus-born Brahma, having received the Gayatri, sprung from the flute song of Sri Krishna, attained the status of the twice-born, having been initiated by the supreme primal preceptor, God in himself. Let's say all together. Then Gayatri, mother of the Vedas, being made manifest, imparted by the divine sound of the flute of Sri Krishna, entered into the lotus mount of Brahma, born from himself through his eight ear holes. The lotus-born Brahma, having received the Gayatri, sprung from the flute song of Sri Krishna, and status of the twice born, having been initiated by the supreme primal preceptor, God himself. Purport. The sound of Krishna's flute is the transcendental blissful sound. Hence, the archetype of all Veda is present in it. Present in it. The Gayatri is Vedic rhythm. It contains a brief meditation and prayer. Kama Gayatri is the highest of all the Gayatris, because the meditation and prayer contained in it are all full of the perfect transcendental sportive activities, which are not to be found in any other Gayatri. The Gayatri that is attained as the sequel of the 18-lettered mantra is Kama Gayatri, which runs thus. Kling Kama Devaya Vidmahe Pushpabanaya Dimihi Tanno Nanga Prachodayat. In this Gayatri, the realization of the transcendental pastimes of Sri Gopijana Ballabha, after perfect meditation and the prayer for the attainment of the transcendental God of love, are indicated. In the spiritual world, there is no better mode of endeavor for securing the super excellent rasa bidud love. As soon as that Gayatri entered into the ear holes of Brahma, he became the twice born and began to chant the Gayatri. Whoever has received the same Gayatri in reality has attained his spiritual rebirth. The status of a twice born that is obtained in accordance with one's worldly nature and lineage by the fettered souls of this material, of this mundane world, is far inferior to that of the twice born who obtains admission into the transcendental world. Because the initiation or acquisition of transcendental birth as a result of spiritual initiation is the highest of glories, inasmuch as the jiva is thereby enabled to attain the transcendental realm. Om Jnanate Manandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunadatam Jena Tasmai Shri Gadam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. So this material, a lot of calls coming in this morning. This is call central. We got to stop doing Harinam, I think. Just lessen up on the, lighten up on the book distribution. Not really. This, the Samohita Jiva is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Shukadeva Goswami, in the chapter The Son of Jona Punished. And that is that although the jiva is part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore is a cognizant entity, because of his tiny size, he's a fragmental part, an amsha of Krishna. And he has the same quality as Krishna, but by misuse of his minute independence, he can fall under the control of the external energy, which is mentioned by Krishna, the elements bhumir apo nanlo vayu kamano pudir evacha ahankara ityame binna prakritir ashtada, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energies. Apareya mitostanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam darite jagat. Besides this inferior nature, there's the superior energy of mind, which are the living entities who are struggling hard in sustaining the material nature. And so the jiva, although he's superior nature and part and parcel of Krishna, he can come under this spell of the material nature. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described that his sojourn in the material world is beginningless. It's called anadi karma. One cannot trace out the beginning of the soul who has become illusioned by the material energy. And until he becomes fortunate by encountering the transcendental sound of the spiritual world, it's impossible for him to come out of this situation. He has to be reawakened. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that it's like there are like logs which are perpetually floating on a river, going on forever and ever, floating, floating, until somehow or other, by chance almost, it seems that one of them will float up and rest on the shore. So those who are wandering in the material nature, when they come in contact with the spiritual sound, which is passed down through disciplic succession from one person who is receptive to that sound and perfected the mantra to the next, then by hearing that, Mahaprabhu says, when one comes in contact with a spiritual master, he receives mantra and he receives instructions. By those mantras and instructions, then one can come out of the spell, come out from underneath the spell of material nature. And this mantra is being described here, how Brahma has taken the same process. He's born into a situation where he's in ignorance. He doesn't know who he is or where he is, and he takes to the process of tapasya. Upon hearing about it, the syllables, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, tapa. Being very intelligent, he understands this means performing some kind of austerity to understand the absolute truth. And as described here in the Brahma Samhita, Atate Pesa Suchiram Prinam Govindam Aviyam Shweta Dipa Patim Krishnam Golokastyam Paratparam, he fixes his mind on the transcendental acts, cultural acts of Govinda in the spiritual world. He has heard this mantra, He's heard Uvacha Pura Tastasmai Tasya Divya Saraswati Kama Krishnaya Govinda He Gopijana Ityapi Balabhaya Priyavanir Mantraste Dasati Priyam. She gives him a mantra to chant, and he begins chanting the mantra. By perfecting that mantra, she says, you'll attain everything. Tapastvam tapa etena tava siddhir bhavishyati. By this mantra, you'll attain all perfection, by this kind of practice of the mantra. And he does. By chanting the mantra, then he hears the flute song of Sri Krishna, and that sound of the flute song enters into his eight ear holes, and from his mouth he utters the Kama Gayatri mantra. And that sound vibration actually is enough to attract the jiva back to the spiritual world. It's mentioned that it contains within it the sportive activities of Krishna in Goloka. And only this, according to the Bhagavat, is enough to free us from our attraction to the variety of the material world, the reflected energy, which is the material nature. It's very attractive because it emanates from the spiritual world, but it's temporary, and we can't enjoy it. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yonai evate adyantavantakonteya nateshu ramate buddha. Krishna says an intelligent person, one who's buddha, he doesn't become attracted to the variety of the external feature and the interaction of his five senses with those elements, the gross elements, because that interaction has a beginning and an end, and therefore he finds no pleasure. Adyantavanta. Because it has a beginning and an end, it's not pleasurable. So the only way to become extricated from the attraction of that external energy, because it appears to be so real. Tribir gunamayir bhavir ebi sarvamidam jagat mohitam nabijana ti mami bhya paramavya. Krishna says, everyone's affected by it, from the top to the bottom. It's through this lifeline of the spiritual sound coming from Goloka Vrindavan, emanating from the flute song of Sri Krishna. When one hears this, then one's mind runs after Krishna, and this is the process of spiritual life, hearing the sound vibration, and by that, one's awakened. Sometimes it's given as the example is given that there are some experts in chanting mantra, that when one's bitten by a snake, you can go into a coma because of the poisonous effect of the snake, and then you'll die soon afterwards unless it's remedied. So there are some experts, we've heard, that can chant certain mantras when one's under the influence of snake bite, and that revives the person, actually, who's able to come out of the coma and be saved from the effect of the poison. So similarly, the effect of material nature on us is like a snake bite. We go into the coma, and then the mantra reawakens us. Okay, Harigu, what else?
I was just trying to call it.
Same thing? Okay.
Prasaraj Das told me that he's seen that. He told me that he saw a mantra chanter wake someone from a coma that way.
We have eyewitness account. Yes, Prabhuji.
Actually, I just have my own self-experience, but not coma, but even just I'm stressed.
Use the mic.
Even when I'm just telling from my personal experience, that even when I'm completely stressed from doing things here, for example, whether it is programming or a bunch of things that have just accumulated the mind so stressful, then when I just hear the mantra, from my own personal experience, my stress goes away and it seems to cleanse the mind, the vibrations, the words. So I'm just telling this practical effect. Even when I'm come here, I'm here actually. And also one time I remember just traveling somewhere in Singapore area. And there were again lots of stress of travel and bunch of other things just build up. And then saw a Hindu temple on Serangoon Road. I didn't I didn't understand any word, but just the hymn and the chanting and the rhythm of it just melt everything away. It's like refreshed me big time, and still it happens even today when you chant the mantra. It just seems to just makes the mind just like a clean water almost.
Mm. That's a very nice point, and this is goes to the efficacy of the mantra, that no one knows it or does not know it, the sound will act. We saw last night, and as it happens quite frequently when we chant in Palo Alto, children are really attracted to the chanting and the rhythm and become glued to watching the kirtan. Last night when we first started, there were some kids that came up. They were with it was a Muslim family. They were standing nearby, and the children came over. The parents were standing a little far away thinking, I don't think this is very Muslim. But the kids were just mesmerized by the mantra. We've seen them dance, and there was one young child who we noted last year or the year before. Her mother was from China, and her child was at three years old and was dancing. And the mother, after about 15 minutes of letting the child dance, said, okay, let's go now. And the child, no, not yet. And when she came back, she wanted to dance more. It's a very natural thing. The mantra awakens everyone, whether they know it or not. In fact, there are recounts in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about when Mahaprabhu started his sankirtan, means the public chanting of this mantra. And he said, take it out and chant it publicly so everyone can hear it and get benefit. Everyone gets benefit, whether they're human beings or lower animals and everything. And at that time, there was a very heavy political situation because there was a Muslim government in control. And basically, they tolerated Hinduism because it was already there, obviously, and they didn't want to provoke anyone. But they didn't really want it to spread. It's the same like in Vietnam and things like that nowadays. We were in Vietnam last year, and you know, there's a communist government there, and they allow Buddhist temples and churches to go on. But if they start proselytizing and things like that and really pushing it, then they'll clamp down really fast, like in a second. And we were warned when we went there, don't just think, you know, you can walk around like you're an American and distribute books or something like that, because you'll end up in the police station, you know, same day. In fact, we were being followed from the time we got there. And it was a very similar situation at that time when Mahaprabhu started his Sankirtan movement that they tolerated. And a lot of the Hindus were happy to go along, too, because they had a pretty good business going, too, as priests and things like that. So when they took it to the streets, the chanting irritated a lot of people. First, the Hindus, who went to the, you know, Muslim king and said, you know, what's going on? These people shouldn't be doing this. This is not a part of our religion. And then Kaviraj Goswami, the author, says that when the constables came back to report about this illegal activity of public chanting, they themselves kept saying, Hari, 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 Hari. It was, you know, they're chanting, Hari, Hari, Hari. And the governor was saying, now I know why the Hindus are chanting, because that's the name of their god, but how come you keep chanting, Hari, Hari? And they said, we can't stop it. Now we heard this. We can't stop chanting the mantra. It keeps coming into our mind, and our tongue wants to chant the mantra. And it that's the nature of the spiritual mantra, that it's actually very tasty. And if someone practices it, they actually get a taste for it. And then Nam, Rup, Guna, Lila, all the qualities, the pastimes, the form of Krishna, everything becomes manifest just from association with the mantra. And so what Brahma was told by Saraswati, you have the association of the Lord through this mantra, so take it and practice it. And the whole subject of the second part of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita is about Gopakumar, who receives a mantra. He gets a Gopal mantra. And he's completely ignorant about what a mantra is. He's completely ignorant about any gradations of the spiritual world or anything like that. He doesn't even know what a sadhu is, but he's innocent. He's open.
And he begins chanting the mantra out of some sort of a feeling of gratitude that it was given to him. And he continues to chant it. And throughout the Briya Bhagavatamrita, we find that the mantra, which is Krishna himself, is really leading him by the hand back to Godhead from one stage to another. In fact, he finds many places, even in Vaikuntha, where he arrives and he'll feel that this is it. I've finally come. Here's the Lord. And then he'll feel some slight dissatisfaction. And the mantra will carry him further until he goes back to Goloka Vrindavan. And in fact, the subject of... could you grab me the Bhaktivinoda Thakur Sharanagati? Is it there? The last verse, the last bhajan that he writes in his prayers of surrender in the Sharanagati indicates the power of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And I'll read that now. I'll enter this into evidence. What power does the name of Krishna possess? My heart constantly burns in the fire of worldly desires, just like a desert scorched by the rays of the sun. The holy name, entering the core of my heart through the holes of my ears, showers unparalleled nectar upon my soul. The holy name speaks from within my heart, moves onto the tip of my tongue, and constantly dances on it in the form of transcendental sound. My throat becomes choked up, my body shivers again and again, and my feet cannot remain still. Rivers of tears flow from my eyes, perspiration completely soaks my body. All my skin thrills with rapture, my hair is to stand on end, and my complexion turns pale and discolored. My mind grows faint, I begin to experience devastation, and my entire body is shattered in a flood of ecstatic emotions. While causing such an ecstatic disturbance, the holy name showers liquid nectar on my heart and drowns me in the ocean of divine love of Godhead. He does not allow me to understand anything, for he has made me truly mad by having stolen away my mind and all my resources. Such is the behavior of him in whom I have taken shelter. I am not capable of describing all this. The holy name of Krishna is independent and thus acts on his own sweet will. In whatever way he becomes happy, that is also my way of happiness. The holy name is the bud of the flower of divine love and is the very abode of astonishing mellows. Such is the power he manifests that when his holy name starts to blossom a little further, it then reveals his own divine form and qualities. Thus my heart is abducted and taken directly to Krishna. Blossoming fully, the flower of the holy name takes me to Vraja and reveals to me his own love dalliance. This name gives to me my own eternal spiritual body, keeps me right by Krishna's side, and completely destroys everything related to this mortal frame of mine. The name of Krishna is a transcendental touchstone, a mine of all devotional mellows. It is eternally liberated and the embodiment of pure rasa. When all impediments to the pure chanting of the holy name are taken away and destroyed, then my happiness will know its true awakening. Thus ends Sharanagati by Thakur Bhaktivinod. Go Premanande Haribo. Yes, Prabhuji.
What is the difference between, how do you know what is the difference between spiritual sound and material sound? Because in second canto, like when the creation began, ether came and the quality of ether is sound.
Well, first of all, it's like there's a science to it. And Stacy and I were talking about this on the way down, that when you buy a diamond, you also have to become educated about how to buy a diamond. There's clarity, there's color, there's weight, there's where it came from. You can get a certificate that says, you know, this came from South Africa, this particular diamond mine. It's stamped by the government. You know, that it cleared customs in a certain place, and you go through all the paperwork and you see where it came from and all this kind of stuff. That's one thing. And then you have to see for yourself also. That first is the authoritative place that it's coming from, and then when you're sure you've got the real thing, you check up on that, and then you take it.
and it has a certain effect. And Prabhupada mentions this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that one who's chanting the mantra will experience, for him or herself, that this is not an ordinary vibration. It doesn't sound like anything else. You experience this when you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, otherwise you wouldn't keep doing it. Because you hear something that attracts your mind, intelligence. You can't tell what it is exactly. You know something's there, but you're not sure. You keep digging and digging. It's the nature of spiritual experience that it grows. In fact, those who hear the mantra, they experience progressive emotions and opening of their heart, described in the Shastra, which you can also judge by chanting. You can take the Shastra gives help also in understanding how to perfect the mantra. For instance, the nectar of instruction. Rupa Goswami gives 6 items that will definitely help you perfect the chanting of the mantra, and 6 items that will definitely destroy your chanting of the mantra. And if you follow those carefully, then you'll see. And also there's signposts along the way. Like when you're traveling from here to LA, you don't know your way. You have to look at the signs and understand how you're going, right? And so similarly, the Shastra gives those signposts about chanting. There are books like Harinam Chintamani, which give very good description. I mean, one encouraging sign in the progress of chanting the mantra, there's, Rupa Goswami describes Adau Shraddha Tata Sarusangata Bhajana Kriya Tato Narta Nivritti Syat Tato Nishtaruchis Tata, that in the beginning you have some inclination, some faith, you want to associate with devotees, they give you a regulated practice, and then in that practice there's Anishta Bhajana Kriya, and then there's Nishta Bhajana Kriya, where you have, there's unsteadiness. You can study the stages of being unsteady. Like in the beginning, there's a feeling that, I've got it down now, I know everything. And then there's an inability to keep vows. And then there's being carried away by waves of sense gratification. That's me right here. And then there are symptoms when one advances to the situation of nishta. What it feels like to be in nishta is described in the Shastra by chanting the mantra. And also bhava. What are the stages of bhava? Shantir avyarta kalatvam, viraktira manashunyata, ashabanda samukanta, namagana sadarichi. There's a very clear description with examples behind each one of how you should be feeling at each stage. And this kind of instruction along with the mantras is important. There's an orientation and an encouragement that comes. That's why there's a first initiation. Because when one takes the mantra out of a book and just goes off on one's own, technically that'll be effective because it's an open mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But actually one should have instruction in sambandha jnana, so that one stays oriented and remembers, even in the beginning when one has no taste, that I have to keep on practicing because the mantra is Krishna and that I'm an eternal part of Krishna, etc. So the answer is that you have to take help. The answer is actually given in the Brahma Samhita. Pramanais tat saracharais tat abhyasir nirantaram. That pramanais, take help from Shastra. Achara, then you have to practice properly yourself. Then you also have to, abhyas means, you know, you practice this over and over again. It takes determination. And pramanais tat saracharais tat abhyasir nirantaram. Go on practicing. And then gradually you'll feel the awakening for yourself. Is there other? Sometimes people distort the mantra too. We've had this in history that people will change the Maha Mantra and they'll say, you know, Japa Hari Krishna Hari Ram Sri Radha Govinda. They have their own ideas. Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam. And then you have to check according to Shastra, according to sadhu, according to guru, is this a bona fide mantra? Because also you might get something from that too. It does have, you know, their names of God and things. Then the sadhus and the shastra will tell us, no, that's a rasabhas, putting them together like that. You're going to get a conflicting kind of result from taking that. So taking help from the disciplic succession and instruction, then you take the correct mantra. It takes a little intelligence. And then practice, a serious practice is required, a regulated practice, and one gets one's own experience. Hari Guru Prabhu?
My original doubt was...
Microphone.
While reading the translations of Brahma Samhita, verse 22 says, evam sarvatma sambandham nabhyam padmam hare rabhu tatra brahma bhavu. Bhavad Bhuyas Chaturvedi Chaturmukha, saying the divine lotus which springs from the navel pit of Vishnu is in every way related by the spiritual tie with all souls and is the origin of four-faced Brahma versed in the four Vedas. And verse 28, it says, Traya prabuddho tha vidhir vijnanata tatva sagarha tustva vedasarena strutrenanena keshavam. Saying, enlightened by the recollection of that Gayatri embodying the three Vedas, Brahma became acquainted with the expanse of the ocean of truth. Then he worshipped Sri Krishna, the essence of all Vedas, with this hymn. So I was just trying to see, would the purports mention anything about what the four Vedas and the three Vedas are?
Go ahead.
Krishna also refers to the three Vedas in the ninth chapter, that those who practice Tridharmam, they go to the... And the three Vedas do not include the Atharva Veda. The Atharva is the fourth Veda. And I can't... Riksama Yajur is the three Vedas, and then Riksama Yajur Atharva is the four Vedas. I can't give more... Maybe Vaish, can you say more about that? Or
Just that... Well, it's mentioned in the first canto of the Bhagavatam that there... Really, Vyas means the compiler or the divider. There's originally one Veda, and then it's divided into different compartments. The motive behind that really is propagation. And it's because when he divides it into different categories, he gives it to different disciples, he trains them up in it, and they pass it on to other people so that it spreads more, and more people are able to take advantage of it in different schools. But other than that, I can't give a more erudite explanation of the three and the four and things like that.